From the Berkshires to the Sound, from wherever you live in MLB America, this is Inside the Parker. You give us 22 minutes and we'll give you the scoop on Major League Baseball. Now here's Baseball Hall of Fame voter number 86, Rob Parker.
Welcome into Inside the Parker. I'm your host, Rob Parker, and what a show we have for you. Daryl Strawberry is our guest, and he will talk about the unrest in America and what it all means. Also, New York Post baseball columnist Ken Davidoff with the labor negotiations between the owners and the players, that and much more. Let's get it kicked off with Getting Robbed.
To lead off, it's Getting Robbed.
And keep him up.
Rob's hot take on the three biggest stories in Major League Baseball. Number one.
It took a while, but Major League Baseball has issued a statement about the social unrest after the death of George Floyd, the murder of George Floyd in Minneapolis. And bravo to Major League Baseball for including some stuff that to me is important in the message. They just didn't say, oh, what a terrible tragedy, and we respect the police, and we need to all be together. I think this was clear. I think it was honest, and I'm going to quote a piece of the statement. Quote, to be clear, our game has zero tolerance for racism and racial injustice. The reality that the black community lives in fear or anxiety over racial discrimination, prejudice, or violence is unacceptable. End quote. Bravo for acknowledging what's taking place in America. I expect this from Major League Baseball. After all, it was Major League Baseball that broke the color barrier in 1947 with Jackie Robinson. It's a huge badge of honor, and I've come to expect baseball to always take a leading position when it comes to race in this country. Because as we know, Jackie Robinson and baseball changed America forever back in 1947 when he played for the Brooklyn Dodgers. Bravo to baseball.
Number two.
Some of the biggest sports stars have spoken about the George Floyd murder in Minneapolis. And a lot of times, you know, we hear from the NFL players, especially since Colin Kaepernick started the movement against police brutality. And we hear from NBA players like LeBron James and other big stars. But we also hear from baseball stars. And Andrew McCutchen, the Philadelphia Phillies outfielder, joined in and called for police officers to be held accountable for their criminal actions as well as to an end of qualified immunity. And that's really what it's about, that people be held accountable. I don't understand why people don't get this idea. I still believe at this point that had those police officers all been arrested and charged, which they have been as of Tuesday now, but had this happened in the beginning when this first happened, obviously the police fired them from the staff, so they've done something wrong. They should have been arrested, and we might have avoided the riots and the looting and the burning that we've seen. But it's great to hear some African-American baseball players as well step to the podium and let their voices be heard.
Number three.
We now have Adam Unger, a former Yankee prospect turned opera singer and lawyer. And we want to get your thoughts on the plight of the minor leaguers, considering what's happened since the coronavirus has derailed the minor league season.
Yeah, you know, Rob, I really feel bad about it, actually. Since I heard about them reducing the number of players that they were going to be drafting this year, because frankly, it affects those guys quite a bit. I mean, probably if the situation were as it is now when I got drafted, I never would have had the opportunity to play for the Yankees. And so a lot of guys who deserve to get a chance to play professional baseball aren't going to get that opportunity. And maybe this year was their last shot. And it kind of affects you for the rest of your life because, you know, I played for the Yankees. I played for the Rockies. I didn't make it to the major leagues. I didn't even go that far in the minor leagues. But I'll tell you that every job that I've ever gone on, either an interview or getting the job or being there or getting into law school, everyone was always impressed. And the first thing they ever asked me about was my experience playing for the Yankees in the minor leagues. So not only is it an opportunity for all these young athletes to get a chance to play pro ball, they're not going to have the chance, if they don't make it, to have the fact that they played pro ball on their resume, which is something that looks good and helps you for the rest of your life. So frankly, I really feel bad for these guys, and I feel bad for the opportunity that's being lost here for them.
Here comes the big interview. Listen and learn.
Oh, it's so good.
Well, first of all, thanks for having me, guys. And these times are very difficult for all of us. And I understand the times that we're in right now. I would say to the people is I feel the same way. I'm tired. You know, I'm tired of police brutality. I'm tired of what's happening to African-Americans. You know, just senseless killing, unnecessary, unacceptable. It's just it needs to stop. Something needs to change. And I think as we sit here and we watch this younger generation as they rally together and they go out, they march to protest for a change. And it's something that we didn't have in the times that we were in because we didn't have social media. We didn't have the internet like they do and all the things and the different outlets they have to be able to gather themselves together. I think if we would have had those growing up, we would have gathered ourselves together too and probably did the same thing and marched to say, hey, it's time for a change in this country. We no longer could just sit back and accept, you know, what has happened to black people. You know, it's a shame, you know, that it continues to happen in this day that we're living here. And, you know, so many went on before us, you know, Martin Luther King, you know, what he stood for. And he stood, you know, him standing for peace, you know, and all that they had to suffer through. Jackie Robinson, you know, yep. First, you know, crossing the line. Every black athlete that put on a uniform, a baseball uniform, don't have a history, don't even know the history of why they right. play baseball. It's because of Jackie Robinson opening the door for every person of a color, and that's Latinos too. Every person of color. If it wasn't for Jackie Robinson, you know, we wouldn't have never been able. I would never be Darryl Strawberry, Major League Baseball player. So, you know, we need to go back and, you know, really educate people about, you know, the history of what's really been going on for a very long time, and where we're at right now. And, you know, we're in a place where society has just exploded. You know, with the coronavirus and now this, you know, the killing of George, you know, Floyd, you know, it's enough. You know, people have had enough, and I understand it.
Straw, very easily, you know, and I can hear it in your voice about the frustration, the anger, and just about right and wrong. And yet there are so many people, even many star black athletes, who will not speak out against this. And when you see that, I get it. Some people have platforms and situations, Straw, where they can help to make change. We saw what happened to Colin Kaepernick when he was trying to bring attention to this epidemic 4 years ago and what was done to him, his livelihood, shunned by the NFL. Straw, how important is it for people who have those platforms where people look up to you guys as role models and heroes to speak out when you see something wrong in front of you?
Well, it's very important to speak out. I mean, it's time to speak out. You know, these guys don't understand. A lot of them don't understand. They have such a tremendous platform, and nobody's going to come against you. You're going to have some haters, you know, that's going to have something to say. So what? You know,
yes.
What difference does it make? You know, they've been hating for so long, you know, and I think about it, you know, being who I was, you know, when I was playing and the days I was playing. And, of course, you know, I was more like the Michael Jordan of baseball in the 80s, you know, been on
that's right.
you know, seven Sports Illustrators, and you know, I used to speak out, you know, and people used to always have something negative to say back, but I really didn't care, you know, for what people had to say. I mean, I was the one that had to take the criticism, you know, when I didn't play well as being black and boo, you making a lot of money, but your white players are making a lot of money too, and they struggle too. You know, and I had to deal with that. I had to face that. So when I look back and look back over my career and look at that whole time of stuff that I went through and saying some of the same things happened to white players, but they never got exposed like I did, you know, from the troubles I had and myself and Doc Gooden. There were plenty of other athletes that were doing a lot of the same things and had problems, but they would sweep them under the rug and they would send them to treatment and say, oh, they have pain pill problems, you know, and stuff like that when they had real problems that I knew because I'm in the circle of sports. So it's been going on forever. And these players today that have platforms speak out. Don't be afraid. Use your platform to speak out because that's the only way change is going to come about. Change is never going to come about if we don't start speaking out. I mean, we didn't have the platform that you may have today and the social media outlet that you have today where you can reach so many people to speak out about, you know, what times we're in. It's real. It's been going on forever. It's never going to change. You're going to still be that same color player they look at regardless of how well you do. When you take the uniform off and it's over. You're no longer that guy that's making money and bringing money in for them. So they're going to treat you different. Yeah, they're going to love you, but still at the same time, you can't bring the money in anymore because of your performance is not there. So use your platform when you have a chance because one day it will be over.
And Straw, I want to make this point because this is the part that people don't realize. Here's the difference in what he's talking about. This is not making excuses for anybody, okay? But when Mickey Mantle played for the Yankees and went out and was drunk and was pulled over, there was not one cop in New York who was going to arrest Mickey Mantle and bring him into the police station.
Right.
They would drive Mickey Mantle home. Daryl, am I right? That's what was done for those guys during that time. They wouldn't drive Daryl Strawberry home. They take him to the precinct. That's the difference. That's what went on.
That is the difference with policing. You know, it's the color of your skin is different. You know, and you face a lot of more challenges when you're out there and you are drinking or whatever, and you get pulled over. The percentage of you and them is totally different. The percentage of you is really high that you're gonna get locked up.
Right.
And it's gonna hit the news. It's gonna hit the AP to the wire. You know, it's gonna be on that. That's just the way it is. I mean, I could speak from my own experiences of living in this life at such a high level and still, you know, achieving things and being successful. But at the same time, guys, I one thing I never forgot that I'm black.
There it is, Straw, right there. That's the nail right there.
It's time for the Pocket Protector Centro. The analytic numbers you need to know. Well, maybe.
Anthony Masterson is his name. BS Analytics is his game. What do you got for me, Anthony?
All right, Rob, today we're going to talk about plate discipline, specifically hitters that chase pitches out of the strike zone. Now, our friends at Fangraphs developed a number of metrics on plate discipline that help tell the story of something we could all use a little of these days, patience. Now, starting with O swing percentage, tells us which batters are most adept at laying out pitches outside the strike zone. O swing, ow, outside. Get it? Now, look at the list of players with the lowest O swing percentage. You can make an all-star team. Last year, the Astros' Alex Bregman led the league in swinging at only 18.8% of pitches outside the strike zone, though some trash cans may have been involved there. Now, behind Bregman is underrated outfielder Tommy Pham, some guy named Mike Trout, Joey Votto, and Mookie Betts. But a low O swing percentage isn't an automatic precursor to success. It mostly helps with sustainable success. You can see a player with a high number have a pretty nice year. Take the White Sox Tim Anderson. Last year, swung at 45.2% of pitches outside the strike zone, the fifth highest mark in baseball, and yet led the league with a .335 batting average. Now, of course, an unsustainable .399 batting average on balls in play might have something to do with that. But does patience make you virtuous, Rob? Not necessarily, but it at least puts you on the right path.
My man, finally some knowledge I could use. We appreciate you, Anthony.
Hey, what's that? That ball is.
It was a big week in the big leagues.
Who's up? Who's up?
I don't believe it! My, oh my!
Is it foul or is it fair? And now, here's ShadowLeague.com MLB insider, J.R. Gamble.
J.R., it's been more than a week since George Floyd lost his life to a cop in the streets of Minneapolis. Baseball has finally issued a statement. Is it foul or is it fair?
It's fair, Rob.
It's a fair ball.
At first, I thought it was foul. But over the last hour, I spoke to some high-ranking people in MLB PR, and according to my sources, MLB allowed three black executives to take the lead on this decision, one of them being Corey Smith, Senior Director of Diversity and Inclusion for Major League Baseball. Baseball didn't want to jump in too early, they say, with the statement as if they were the savior of the world, but they felt strongly that they wanted to not just make a statement, but think of a course of action as well as be able to back it up. The seriousness of the issue and the gravity of the moment wasn't lost on MLB, and the statement was comprised after days of conversations between baseball's diversity heads as to the best way to support George Floyd and genuinely express the league's commitment to attacking the roots of these problems, which has come through a wide array of diversity programs that people might not be too familiar with, from grassroots to the executive offices, although it doesn't always show on the field. They acknowledge the fear that black people live in, and they acknowledge the systemic racism in the statement, so I will give baseball a pass this time.
Take out the paper, then the trash.
It's time for Trash Talk Twitter. Your chance to trash anyone or anything in Major League Baseball.
This tweet comes from Chauncey19 in Detroit. The NBA is scheduled to return before baseball at this point. If this happens, baseball is dead. They struggle with the younger fans now. They are going to cripple themselves if they don't get it together. They need to return first for interest's sake. Thanks, Chauncey. If you want to be a winner like Chauncey, hit me up on my Twitter, at RobParkerFS1, and you too could have a chance to win a new era snapback baseball cap.
When Rob was a newspaper columnist, he lived by this motto: if I'm writing, I'm ripping. Let's bring in a writer or broadcaster, old or new.
All right, let's welcome in one of the best baseball writers in the country, Ken Davidoff from the New York Post. Ken, welcome to the podcast.
Thanks for having me inside the Parker.
Man, appreciate you. You know that. Let's just start. The players came back to the owners with a 114-game schedule where the World Series Game 7 would be played on Christmas Day. I know it wasn't that late, but late in the year. And the owners came back with maybe like a 50-game season. What's going on here? Is it going to get back to the maybe 82-game schedule? Is that where we're headed?
I think that's where we're headed, Rob. And this 50-game thing, it wasn't formally a counter-proposal. It was more of Rob Manfred saying, hey, there is this other path. Like, I do have the right to do this, which is not clear he does, but that's what he said. Like, I have the right to play a 50-game season and pay you guys your prorated salary. So that's where things stand.
How about, there's two sides to this. I get it. I understand what the union, and we've had 26 years of labor peace in baseball, which is a lot. You know that, Ken, mm-hmm. given the history between owners and the union and the work stoppages and the strikes and threat of a lockout. So it's been good for baseball. And I do see both sides. I'm not riding the fence. I understand players don't want to give up all that they've fought for and sacrificed in just accepting whatever offer the owners throw out. But I also look at the owner's side and say, no fans, no parking, no concessions, no stadium merchandise. It's a big hit financially as well. Where are you on this when you look at the two sides and both of their arguments?
The way I look at it, Rob, is, yeah, of course, any of us with a thimble full of common sense can understand that the owners are going to take a big revenue hit. But ultimately, my opinion, the owners have more to lose here in terms of it's all about their franchise values, right? That's why you get into this game. It's an investment, and you buy your team at X dollars with the expectation that whether it's 10, 20, or 50 years from now, you can sell it at Y dollars, at far more. So what are they doing to their franchise values if they just don't have a season because of the losses they're going to incur during the small sample of 1 year? So I do think the owners have to give a little more than the players, who, by the way, they're the ones putting themselves in harm's way during a pandemic.
All right, our guest is Ken Davidoff, baseball columnist for the New York Post here on Inside the Parker. Ken, the other part, though, is fans always tend to side with owners over players, and I think there's a jealousy factor when the guy's playing a sport making millions of dollars. What about the PR hit? If there is no baseball, and we're talking about 18 months with no baseball while other sports get played, how damaging could that be?
I think it could be fatal, Rob. I think it would be absolutely massive. I mean, the idea, as you said, we're in a pandemic. The other NBA has its plan in place. The NHL has its plan in place. You know, the NFL, I mean, Roger Goodell doesn't care if 10 guys drop dead on the field. They're going to keep going, right?
Absolutely.
So you know, they're going to keep going. And baseball is going to sit on the sidelines because you know, because they couldn't cut a deal over dollars. I think that would be insanely damaging. And that's why I refuse to believe that that scenario will actually occur.
I'm with you. It's just, it would be death. It really would be. And I couldn't blame fans if they turned their nose to baseball, especially when you consider what people are going through in the country. Furloughs, pay cuts, job losses, record unemployment, Ken, right? There'd be no way to be able to rationalize fighting over millions of dollars and not playing. Lastly, where does baseball go from here? If they do get a deal and no fans, or at least in the beginning, do you think people will still have the same feeling for the sport? Will it be different? Or are people just so starved for a sporting event that will adapt and it'll be okay for this year?
Well, Rob, I think, look, let's just say 82 games with deferred salary. You know, they get their prorated pay, but they have to defer the money. I think that's reasonable middle ground. Let's say they cut that deal. I think some fans, the ones who follow this crap closely, will be a little turned off by what how they got there. But I think more important is the way the teams have behaved, from really being thrifty about refunds, many of these teams, you know, for the games that are not going to be replayed, making fans jump through hoops to get refunds. Then you're talking about all the minor leaguers who have lost their jobs or at least lost their pay. The draft getting decimated this year, the amateur draft down to 5 rounds. And then many front office employees being let go or furloughed or having their salaries cut. You're talking about things that damage the game's long-term viability, just the neglect of the crops, if you will, right? And that's where I think the real damage is going to kick in.
All right, his name, Ken Davidoff. Read him in the NewYorkPost.com. One of the best baseball writers in the country. Ken, we appreciate you, bud.
I appreciate you as a human being, Rob. You're the best.
Now it's time for some Diamond Dust with Wish TV's Phil Sanchez.
Out of here!
He played baseball in college. Now hear his MLB knowledge.
Hey, Rob, because of the coronavirus, this year's Hall of Fame ceremonies have been canceled. But when next year rolls around, the class will include Derek Jeter, Larry Walker, Ted Simmons, and Marvin Miller. But a guy who should be on that list, and there's no doubt about it, Albert Bell. And here's why. The perfect Hall of Fame candidate has a clear outstanding peak to his career, and most candidates fall short of said peak. But not Albert Bell. His peak through the roof. His career was cut short at the age of 33 because of injury, but from 1993 to 1999, he averaged a line of .308, 41 home runs, and 127 RBI. That's an average. An average of 7 years, and two of them, of course, were cut short because of the strike. Now I get it. Albert Bell doesn't have the lifetime numbers that some other guys have. But if it wasn't for injuries, he could have easily sailed past 500 home runs and 1,600 RBIs. And yes, Albert Bell was not the friendliest of guys and even spent some time in trouble with the law after his playing days were over. But the Hall of Fame shouldn't be a popularity contest. It should be a museum to honor the players who were the best of the best in the years they played. And that, hands down, is Albert Bell.
Now bring in the closer.
Strike one.
Strike two.
Strike three.
He's out.
Here's why MLB is better than the NFL or NBA. And it isn't even close.
The reason baseball is better than the NFL and NBA is clear, especially when you talk about race. It's hard to deny baseball's place in American history and Jackie Robinson. The other sports, especially when you talk about the NFL and what's happened, how in the world could you not think that the NFL was the league that shunned Colin Kaepernick for kneeling in a peaceful protest? They took his livelihood. They took his job. They ridiculed him. They ostracized him. He was right. He was telling us 4 years ago, 2016, about the plight of the black man at the hands of white police. And they didn't hear him. Even the NBA, which has done a lot of good things as far as diversity and the treatment of African-American players, even they have on the books, and people don't talk about it, they have on the books where players can't protest during the national anthem. It's un-American. It should be stricken from their CBA. Shame on NBA Commissioner Adam Silver. Shame on the NBA players for allowing that to continue to happen. That should be removed from their CBA. In the words of New York TV legend, the late Bill Jorgensen, thanking you for your time this time until next time. Rob Parker, out.
He can't get it. This could be an inside to Parker.
See you next week. Same bat time, same bat station.